Early risers, how you guys doing? Hey, thank you for getting up early, whether you're online or in person. Thank you for getting up early to worship with us. If you happen to be a guest, let me introduce myself. My name is Brian Anderson. I'm one of the pastors here. I just want to, let's just take a moment and congratulate those of you who are water baptized this morning. Way to go. Super important step. Very, very cool. And if you're a follower of Jesus and for whatever reason you haven't been water baptized yet, that's an important next step for you to take. And we happen to have another baptism coming up in about 6 weeks, the last weekend of February. All you have to do, we want to make sure you know what the Bible says about baptism. So we have a baptism class that you can now take online on your own time. Sign up for the baptism and take the baptism class, and hopefully we'll be celebrating you being water baptized the last weekend of February. And you know, if you have a Bible, where I'm going to be teaching out of the Bible this morning is in the book of James. So if you have a Bible, you have an app, James chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 13 to 17. James 4, 13 to 17, that'll be our main text as we worship God by studying His Word. Before we dive into that, though, I just want to make mention of our offering. You know, there are lots of ways that you and I can give financially to God through the Vineyard. And when we do that, you know, God uses our money to transform ordinary people like me, like you, into extraordinary followers of Christ. And we just saw a little snapshot of that, you know, with the people being water baptized. So it really, really matters. I know many of you are incredibly faithful and generous. Thank you. We're going to pause for a moment, pray for God to bless our offerings to Him whenever we give those. But most importantly, let's pray and ask God to speak into our hearts and speak into our minds today as we study and worship Him through the Bible. Okay? Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we got to witness people following you in the waters of baptism. We're so grateful for that, God. We pray that this would really be an important event in their life, and they would start to grow in ways that they never have in the past after this event. And Lord, as we give financially back to you, Lord, we know that you do things like transform people's lives because of our finances, and we pray that you would continue to do that. Whenever we give, God, bless our gifts, use them for your glory, but bless us in being faithful to you and doing our money your way, Lord. And now, God, as we look into the Scriptures, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak very clearly to every heart and every mind, whether they're online, whether in the room. God, speak very clearly to every one of us. We really want to hear what you have to say to us out of the Scriptures today. And for that to happen, God, I personally need your empowering. I ask for that right now, Lord. I pray that you would give me the gift of teaching so that I would teach the things that you want me to teach. Have every way, Lord, in every one of our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I began a new three-week series last weekend called Getting Ready for the Future. As we get into 2021, we're all getting ready for our future, entering into our future. So how do you think God wants us to get ready for our future? Do you think God wants us to be afraid of our future? What's the correct answer to that? No, God does not want us to be afraid of our future at all. Well, many years ago, there was a guy by the name of Joshua who was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they'd been wandering around for many, many years, and they were finally getting ready to go into what was known as the Promised Land. They just crossed the Jordan River, and they're going into the Promised Land. They're literally entering into their future. And God said something to Joshua several thousand years ago that I think he wants to say to us today. It's found in Joshua 7. We'll put it on the video screens. God says, get up, command the people to purify themselves. Why? In preparation for the future. In preparation for tomorrow, but in preparation for the future. So God tells them, if you want to go into the future the right way, you have to purify yourself. Now, what does that mean to you and me? It means we come to God, and I hope you do this on a regular basis, but especially as we begin 2021, we come to God and we say, God, here I am. I'm yours. As I begin this year, God, I want to do whatever you want me to do. I want to go wherever you want me to go. I'm purifying myself as I head into the future of 2021. I hope all of you are doing that on a regular basis. So first of all, this morning, I want to warn us of some false approaches to the future that we need to be aware of. We need to avoid these. And the first false approach to the future is useless worrying about the future. See, Jesus frequently pointed out the futility of worry. Jesus talked about it a lot. He said, all worry does is make you miserable. It doesn't change anything. It doesn't help at all. Worry can't change your past. Worry can't control the future. Worry can't solve your problems right now. All worry does is make us miserable. So Jesus says, don't do it. In fact, he said it like this in Matthew 6. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And the answer obviously is, of course not. Jesus is telling us worry is worthless. It's a waste of emotional energy. So that's the first false approach to worry, to the future is useless worrying. The second false approach to the future is what I call arrogant assuming. Arrogant assuming. Now, people who live like this, maybe this is you, are thinking things like, hey, nothing's going to go wrong. We're not going to have any major problems. I mean, I'm an American. I'm entitled to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But see, the fact is, nobody knows what's going to happen in the future, right? Nobody. We don't know what it's going to happen tomorrow, let alone next week or next year. Look at Proverbs 27:1 says, don't boast about tomorrow. Why not? Because you don't know what a day is going to bring forth. See, when you're boasting about tomorrow, like the writer of Proverbs says here, you're planning all these things that are going to happen tomorrow. What that is that's arrogant assuming. And God doesn't want us to do that. Now, this next verse also talks about arrogant assumers. It's in Isaiah 56, verse 12. Come, they say, let us get wine and let us drink heavily of strong drink. Underline this part if you're taking notes. And tomorrow will be like today, only more so. So what are these people saying? They're saying, hey, it's party time. What's up? You know, nothing's going to change. Let's just eat, drink, and be merry. And as a result, they do no preparation for the future. See, these people are on the other extreme of useless worriers. Useless worriers are on one extreme. Arrogant assumers are on the other extreme. Now, the Bible says that there are two significant reasons why you and I should never presume about the future. I had to turn to the book of James earlier. Look at how James says that. We're going to start in verse 14. I told you verse 13. We're going to get to 13 in a moment. But James says, yet you don't know what your life will be like tomorrow. Don't be an arrogant assumer. You don't know what your life will be like. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. See, there are two reasons you should never presume to know the future. The first reason is because life is unpredictable. It's unpredictable. Verse 14 says, you don't know what your life will be like tomorrow. Man, haven't we witnessed that over the last 10 months of this pandemic? We don't know what our life's going to be like tomorrow, let alone next week or next year. And then the second reason we should never presume to know the future is because life is brief. It's brief. James says in verse 14, you're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. That's your life. It's here and it's gone. It's like a vapor. And the truth is, everybody who's watching online, everybody who's in this room, we are all one heartbeat away from eternity. One heartbeat away from eternity. You don't know whether you have 5 heartbeats left or you have 5 million heartbeats left. You don't know. So what does that mean? That means whatever you're going to do with your life, do it now. Whatever you're going to do with your life, do it now. Don't wait. Get on with it now, because anything could happen. So, false approaches to the future, useless worrying, arrogant assuming, and then the third false approach, faulty planning. Faulty planning. James illustrates this with a conversation between a couple of business people. He says in verse 13, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit." Now, you might read that and say, "Well, Brian, what's wrong with that? Sounds like this guy has a plan. It sounds like he's thinking ahead. What's wrong with this kind of planning?" Well, nothing. There's certainly nothing wrong with making a profit. There's certainly nothing wrong with making a plan. What's wrong is what this guy forgot to do. See, what's wrong is that there's no mention of God in this verse. No, it's all just about this person's plans, this person's dreams, this person's ambitions, this person's goal setting. Not once was God ever consulted in this person's planning. Now, I know many of you are followers of Jesus, and you really, really love Jesus. You do. But you know what? For many of you, when it comes to planning your schedule, you don't consult God first. When it comes to planning your calendar, you don't consult God first. When it comes to planning how you're going to spend your finances, you don't consult God first. When it comes to thinking about possibly buying a new house or a different house, or possibly buying a new car or a different car, or when it comes to, you know, possibly getting married or having children or any of those big life decisions, many of you don't really consult God ahead of time. And when you do that, you're acting, even though you do love Jesus, even though you are a follower of Jesus, you're acting like you're not a follower of Jesus. See, there's no difference in your planning and the planning of an unbeliever. You're just making your own plans. "Well, I think I'm going to do this." You have forgotten God in your planning. In other words, you are planning without prayer. And planning without prayer is presumption, because you're acting like there is no God. So, how are we, as followers of Jesus, supposed to plan? Well, James tells us in verse 15, he says, "Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that." See, the Bible says that the wise way for a follower of Jesus to plan their life in any area is to pray as you plan. And as you pray and plan, you're going to feel, "Well, I feel this is what God wants me to do. I think this is what God wants me to do." Very rarely do we absolutely know this is what God wants us to do, unless it's already spelled out clearly in the Scripture. If it's spelled out clearly in the Scripture, then you know that's what God wants you to do. But there are a lot of things in life that aren't spelled out in the Scripture. So if I feel like this is the way God is pointing me, how do I plan? I say, "Okay, God, I feel like this is what you're saying to me. This is what you're wanting me to do. So this is what I'm going to do. But God, I want you to know, if at any moment this is not what you're wanting me to do, just say the word, speak the word into my heart, and I will change this plan immediately." That is how you plan with prayer. So false approaches to the future, useless worrying, arrogant assuming, faulty planning, and there's a fourth one, lazy procrastinating. lazy procrastinating. That is not a way you want to face the future. In fact, have you noticed that whenever you and I postpone things, whenever we procrastinate things, they get bigger? Have you noticed that? If you have a marriage problem and you don't deal with it, you know what's going to happen? It's going to get bigger. It's not going to go away. It's going to get bigger. If you have a problem with one of your children, they're acting up and you don't deal with it, you know what's going to happen? It's going to get bigger. If you have a problem with a coworker, maybe a conflict or a neighbor or a friend or whatever, and you don't deal with it, that conflict is going to get bigger. See, some of you have problems in your life that have carried over from 1 year to the next, to the next, to the next. And you know why? Because you've never dealt with it. It's not going to go away. I know siblings who actually won't speak to one another, but neither one of them even remember the original conflict that caused them to not speak to one another. But they've never dealt with it. People say, well, you know, we'll wait a while because time heals all wounds. No, it doesn't. Time doesn't heal all wounds. Time just makes wounds bigger. It makes wounds fester. Some of you are dealing with problems from years ago because you've never faced them. You've never dealt with them. You know, maybe you were hurt as a child, or maybe you were abused as a teenager, or maybe you got a really messy divorce. And those things are still really affecting you today because you've never faced it. You've just pushed it down and pushed it down and pushed it down. And the fact is, one day it's going to blow. One day you are going to explode, either on the outside or on the inside. God says, don't be lazy and procrastinate. Whatever you need to deal with in your life, don't put it off. Deal with it. In fact, did you know that God actually calls procrastination sin? God calls it sin. Look at verse 17. James says, therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do, I know I need to deal with this situation at work. I know I need to forgive this person for what they did to me. I know I need to get counseling for that messy divorce that I went through that's still affecting me. The person who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him, it is sin. James is saying that when you and I know the right thing to do and we put it off, we don't deal with it, we're actually sinning. I love this little poem. I've read it to you before. Procrastination is my sin. It only brings me sorrow. I know I ought to change my ways. In fact, I will tomorrow. I mean, how often is that our motto, right? I know, some of you didn't know that you could sin by doing nothing, right? We usually think about sin as acts that we commit, acts of commission. But the Bible says when we know the right thing to do and we don't do it, that's also sin. It's sins of omission. So, what's the wise way for you and I to plan for our future? Not by worrying, not by arrogant assuming, not by faulty planning, not by lazy procrastinating. The wise way to deal with the future is just three words. Do it now. Do it now. Say that out loud. Do it now. Put that in the chat if you're online. Say it one more time. Do it now. That thing that you know is the right thing to do, do it now. In fact, did you know that the Bible says that obedience is one of the tests of our salvation? one of the tests of our salvation. Obedience is one of the ways to know whether or not you're really a follower of Jesus. Look at the way the Apostle John said it in 1 John 2. And we can be sure that we know Jesus. You want to be sure that you know Jesus? Here's how. If we obey his commandments. There it is. If someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar. I love how John just says the truth, man. You're a liar. You're a big fat liar if you do that. You're a liar and it's not living in the truth. So I can claim to be a Christian. But if my lifestyle doesn't reflect the things that I know to be true, then I have every reason to doubt that I really am a Christian. I should doubt that I'm even going to heaven. Actions speak louder than words. So let me ask you, is there anything in your life, anything at all, that you know God is wanting you to do it, but you haven't done it yet? Now, again, we like to call it procrastination, but to God, it's sin. It's disobedience. You know God wants you to do it, and you're not doing it. You're disobeying. That's called sin. So I want to challenge you as your pastor, as we get ready for the future, we're going to 2021, don't put those things off any longer. Start obeying God in whatever it is you know God is wanting you to do. You say, well, Brian, give me some examples. What do you mean? Well, for example, there are some of you online, some of you in this room, that you've been putting off fully surrendering your life to Jesus Christ. You've known about it. Maybe you've been online, coming to church for a while, maybe even here for a while. Maybe you grew up going to church or whatever, but you've never fully surrendered your life to Jesus and crossed the line of faith and entered into the life of Christianity. Well, if that's you, what should you do? The Apostle Paul tells us very clearly in 2 Corinthians 6, he says, indeed, the, quote, right time is now. He's talking about salvation. Today, in fact, he says, is the day of salvation. Don't wait any longer. If that's you, you need to surrender your life today. Today, Paul says. Today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off any longer. You need to surrender your life to Jesus. Now, many of you who are watching online, many of you who are in this room, you've already done that. At one time in your life, at least, you surrender your life fully to Jesus. Maybe you're not walking closely with him now. Maybe you are. I don't know. But there still may be some things in your life that you know God wants you to do, and you've been putting them off. You know, for example, you know that God very clearly tells us in the Bible that we are to publicly demonstrate our faith in Jesus Christ by being water baptized. And for some of you, you've never done it. I'm talking about after you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, being baptized as a baby and all that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about baptism after you've decided personally to follow Jesus. You're disobeying the Lord in that. He very clearly tells us to follow him into the waters of baptism. That's what some of you need to do. And like I said earlier, we have another baptism coming up the last weekend in February, February 28th and 29th. Or 27 to 28th, you just need to take our baptism class online, sign up, and obey the Lord. Don't start out 2021 any longer by being disobedient. And then there are others of you, you know that God has been speaking to you about not just being an attender of a church, but actually becoming a member. The Bible very clearly tells us that he doesn't want us to be, you know, just wandering all over. He wants us to be planted in a local church. He wants us to be a contributor, not just a consumer. And that happens as you begin to become a member. For some of you, That's what God has been speaking to you about. You need to obey him. God has been speaking to you about becoming a member of this church. And the first step of becoming a member of this church is by taking our newcomers class. And you can do that online on your own time. But for some of you, that's what you need to do to start obeying the Lord. Some of you, God has been wanting you to join a small group. You've known about it. You know it would be helpful to you. You know it would encourage you. For whatever reason, you haven't done it yet. We have small groups that are only online. We have small groups that are only in person. We have small groups that are doing both. Lots of choices. For some of you, you need to obey the Lord by joining a small group. And then others of you, God has been speaking to you about starting to do your money God's way. Your money God's way. And you know that you're supposed to start giving back to God the first 10% of all the income God brings your way. The Bible calls it tithing. But you haven't started. You need to be obedient. Don't continue to be disobedient with your finances. Others of you know that God has been speaking to you about forgiving a particular person who has hurt you in the past. And maybe you haven't done it because you don't understand what forgiveness is. A lot of people think forgiveness is an emotion. Well, when I feel like forgiving them, then I will. Well, you'll never feel that way. Forgiveness is not an emotion. Forgiveness is a decision. It's a choice you make. Where you say to God, okay, God, I'm going to take this person and what they've done to me and all the pain that they've caused me, and I'm going to release them and what they've done to you, God, and let you deal with them in your way and your time if you decide to deal with them at all. But I'm not going to carry that unforgiveness, that bitterness, that resentment in my heart any longer. That's how you forgive them. And some of you, that's what God has been speaking to you about. Others of you, God has been speaking to you about serving in a ministry. I don't know. So let me close with this. I'm going to ask you this question. What is it that you've been disobedient in? And now, as you get ready for the future, you want to start obeying God in? I want to tell you, do what you need to do and do it now. Would you pray with me? I want to spend these next few moments just asking the Holy Spirit to really move among us online and in this room. And I want to give you an opportunity to do whatever business you feel like you need to do with God to get ready for the future. If there's an area in your life that you know you've been disobedient in, maybe you've been putting it off, maybe you didn't even know it was that big of a deal to put it off, but God has made it clear in your heart and mind today, then take these next few moments to say yes to God. Yes, God. Okay, I'm going to get water baptized. I'm going to take that baptism class. I'm going to sign up for the baptism. Okay, God, I'm going to become a member of the Vineyard. I'm not just going to be a consumer any longer. I want to be a contributor. I want to be part of the army. I want to help make that church everything that you, God, intend it to be. Or it's, okay, God, I'm going to start serving in a ministry. I've been on the sideline for way too long. I know you've been speaking to me about that. I'm going to get in. I'm going to join a small group. I'm going to check it out today. I'm going to join a small group. Start checking some out. Okay, God, I'm going to make a choice right now. I'm going to forgive so-and-so for what they did to me. You know how much they've hurt me. But I'm not going to harbor this bitterness and this unforgiveness any longer. I'm going to release them and what they did to you, Lord. I don't want to walk around with this junk in my heart anymore. I want to purify myself as I head into the future, just like Joshua did. You know, I do believe there are some people in this room and some people online that you have never crossed the line of faith and fully surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. You know, maybe you're here today just because of the baptism. Somebody invited you. And maybe you've been around Christianity. Like I said, maybe you grew up in a church, or maybe you grew up Catholic or whatever. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You have never fully surrendered your life and said, Jesus, I want to follow you. Jesus, I want to live your way. I want to do my life your way. Some of you haven't done that. But today, like Paul says, today is the day of salvation. This is your day. And God is speaking into your heart right now. And you know you want to do this. Some of you are online, some of you are in this room. You know you want to do this. And you might be saying, well, Brian, how would I fully surrender my life to Jesus and cross the line of faith into Christianity and settle my eternity? How would I do that? Well, you begin by a prayer of surrender. I'm going to pray a prayer of surrender to the Lord in just a moment. And if you want to do this, you can pray this prayer to God from your heart. You don't have to pray it out loud. But you do have to really mean it between you and God. God, this is the real deal. I really want to do this. You can start your journey with Jesus right now. Would you pray with me? Would everybody here just bow your head for a moment? Again, you don't have to pray it out loud. God can read your thoughts. But you do have to mean it. And just pray something like, God, I know that I've done wrong things in my life. I know that I've sinned. And God, I want to be forgiven of all the wrong things that I've ever done. And so, Jesus, would you come into my life right now and forgive me of all the wrong things that I've ever done? I want to fully surrender my life to you. I want to begin to follow you from this day forward. You know, if you prayed that prayer, whether you were online or in this room, and you really meant it, it happened. Today is the day of salvation in your life. And now you need to begin to follow Jesus, and that's where the vineyard comes in. You know, we teach you every week out of the Bible how to follow Jesus better. And so it's super important that you prioritize church now. It's not a hit and miss deal. It's a priority, whether it's online or in person, but it's a priority. So that's one thing you need to do. But the other thing Jesus tells people who begin to follow him, he says, you can't keep it a secret. You can't keep you following me a secret. It's not just between you and me, Jesus says. You have to go public with what you've done. And like I said earlier, that's part of what water baptism is. It's a way of going public and telling everybody, I have become a follower of Jesus. My old life is dead. I now have a new life. And so that's a next step. For anybody who prayed that prayer, you need to be water baptized. Super important step. But whenever I give an opportunity for people to do that in our church, like I just did, to pray that prayer, I challenge people to go public right now. Don't wait for baptism. I want you to go public right now because I know I've been a pastor for a long time. I know it doesn't really take effect in a person's life unless they go public. And so I'm going to give you an opportunity to go public right now in just a moment. In just a moment, I'm going to ask everybody in this room, if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, I'm going to ask you to do something really brave. I'm going to ask you in a moment to pop to your feet and come here to the front and let everybody know publicly, I have made this decision. I want to follow Jesus. I've crossed the line of faith. I'm not going to toy around with this anymore. I'm all in. I'm going to ask you to do that in just a moment. And I know that's a scary thing to do. If you're in a big room like this, it's a scary thing to do. You're like, well, what if I'm the only one? Well, I don't think you'll be, but even if you are, remember what I challenged you with? You had to really mean it. And if you really meant it, then it doesn't matter who knows. Doesn't matter who knows. But the other reason when I ask people to come to the front in a moment, the other reason that the vast majority of us don't do that is because we've already done something like this. We're already followers of Jesus. And we love it when God adds new people to his family. So we're already on your side. You don't have to be worried about us. Now, for those of you that are online, how I want you to go public is I want you to text right now. Get out your mobile device. Text the word commit. It's on your video screen. Commit to 77411. 77411. That's not quite as public as people in this room, but it's a way for you to go public, and then one of our ministry team members will get a hold of you very shortly and talk to you about that. But for those of you in this room, if you prayed that prayer, are you brave enough, are you courageous enough to actually go public and let us know about it? So if that's you, I want to challenge you right now. Stand to your feet and walk here to the front, because I want to say a special prayer for you. You prayed that prayer for the first time, no matter where you are. Stand to your feet right now, and I want you to come down here to the front. Whether you're in the balcony area, sitting down here, whatever. If you prayed that prayer for the very first time, and you're like, I want to go public by following Jesus. I see somebody up there. I see somebody. God bless you. God bless you. Come on. Come on. If you prayed that prayer, pop to your feet right now. Pop to your feet. Come down here to the front. If you're with somebody and you're a little afraid to come by yourself, grab their hand. Grab their hand right now and say, would you come to the front with me? Would you come to the front with me? I want to go. I want to publicly declare my faith in Jesus. Pop to your feet right now. Come on. Come on. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation for you. This is the day you cross the line of faith. You said, I'm not messing around with this thing anymore. God bless you. All three of you, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Come on, if you prayed this prayer and you're brave enough to say, hey, I'm going public. I'm not going to mess around with this anymore. I want to follow Jesus. God bless you guys. God bless you. Are there any others? Any others? Pop to your feet right now. Pop to your feet. Come on. God bless you. God bless you. Come on. Come on. Come on. I see some more. Come on. Come on. God bless you. God bless you guys. Come on. And let's get some of our leaders, some of our small group leaders, our ministry team leaders, those guys to come on down here as well. Now, I want you to know, as your pastor, I'm super, super proud of your decision to go public with following Jesus. Super proud. And as your next public act of following Jesus is for you to be water baptized. And like I said, you need to take the baptism class and all that. We'll follow up with you about that. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray for you in just a moment. And everybody's going to agree for prayer. And don't forget, you guys that are online, text the word commit, 77411. In a moment, I'm going to pray for you. And then afterwards, we have some ministry team members and some leaders in our church. We need to get some information from you. So they're going to sit down with you, get some information on a card so that we can follow up with you, send you some stuff in the mail, all that kind of stuff, okay? So those of you that are seated, would you agree with me in prayer as we bless our new friends that have come to the altar this morning? And we're also praying for those who wrote the word, typed the word commit to 77411 online. Lord, we are so grateful for these men, women, and children, these young people, these older people, whatever, God, that have said publicly, I want to follow Jesus. Would you etch this day? Today is the day of salvation. Would you etch this day in their heart and in their mind for all of eternity? God, would they know that they're being obedient to you by following you and saying yes to following you into Christianity? God, I pray you'd bring the right people around them to grow them up in the faith and disciple them. I pray, Lord, that you'd protect them from all the different schemes of the devil to bump them off this narrow path. God, I pray you'd put them in the right small group. And most of all, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would fill them right now. Fill them with power, fill them with anointing, fill them with spiritual gifts. Begin to use them in their workplace, in their schools, in their neighborhoods, among their families. Let them all be shining bright lights for the glory of Jesus Christ. We're so grateful for them. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Now, those of you that are with them, take a few minutes, get the right information. Now, for those of you that are online, if you'd like someone to pray for you, just hit the prayer button at any time. And those of you who are in the room, if you want to stick around, we would love to pray for you here at the front. You may have to wait a little while because there's a lot of people up here right now, but we would love to pray for you if you would like prayer. Before we go, though, I want to pray a blessing. So if everybody would please stand, whether you're online or in person. And then next weekend, I'm going to finish up this series about getting ready for the future by talking about hope. Something we all have, or excuse me, we all need is hope as we head into 2021. How do we get hope for this next year? You're not going to want to miss it. Let me pray a blessing. Lord, thank you for all my friends. And as we go our separate ways, God, I pray that you would bless every single person online or in this room. Bless them, keep them, cause your face to shine upon them, be gracious to them. Lift up your favor upon them, God, and give them peace. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a great rest of your day. We'll see you soon.